Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharne Niravishesha Shunyavadi Paschityadishtarne Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pramanujananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Vajkapaturubhyas chakripa sindubhyevacha, padidhanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita ki jai, Srila Sanatan Goswami ki jai. Hari Bol. Right, so there we are then, fifth chapter, first part, and we're just starting Arjuna expressing his feelings of not having really received the mercy of the Lord, even though in certain respects, many people think that the Pandavas have received the mercy of the Lord. Yes. So many people think, oh, the Pandavas, they really received the mercy of the Lord. So anyway, here's Arjuna then. Swayed by dry speculation, concerned only with their own dharma, Bhishma and others on the field of war fiercely attacked Lord Sri Krishna, piercing his armor and flesh. Lord Krishna, the wielder of the Sudarshan Chakra, tolerated for my sake those repeated attacks on his divine body, although I tried to stop him. Yes, of course, that situation there on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, a very famous situation. And, well, in these verses from 62 to 70, as we'll see as we go through, Arjuna explains how Lord Krishna's good intentions, his desire to help them and like that, actually ended up causing grief. As far as he can see. As far as he can see. Yeah. So, in the battle of Kurukshetra, of course, Lord Krishna had promised not to take up arms. He would just be the chariot driver of Arjuna. But still, different warriors like Bhishma attacked him. And more than once attacked him, actually. And Krishna, because he wanted the best for Arjuna, because he wanted victory for Arjuna, Krishna, he exposed himself to danger repeatedly for the sake of Arjuna, so Arjuna and his brothers, of course, could win. And in doing this, Krishna was wounded. And when Arjuna, who loves Krishna just unlimitedly, when Arjuna saw Krishna being hurt like this, he felt terribly hurt. Terribly hurt. Yes. Because Krishna's body is more precious to Arjuna than his own body. And he makes an interesting point that these warriors, Bhishma and others, were concerned only with their own dharma. So Arjuna is saying that the warriors who attacked Krishna, that their understanding was dry and impersonal, as he says in the verse, swayed by dried speculation and concerned only with their own dharma. So they thought that Krishna is the absolute truth, he's spiritual, so he can't feel material pain. And therefore, there's nothing wrong with attacking him. So this is a very impersonal idea. And through their saying this, what Arjuna is saying, the point he's making, is that these people, they're not pure devotees. They're not so advanced. Well, they're speculators, impersonalists, like that. And they have no real understanding of how wonderful Krishna is, how wonderful it is to have a relationship with Krishna. But at the same time, when Krishna is inconvenienced or particularly hurt, how the devotee feels that, because Krishna is more dear to the devotee than the devotee is dear to himself or herself. Yes. So those different blows from different weapons, being Krishna being struck in different ways, they seem to penetrate his body and draw blood. But Sanatana Goswami says that actually the so-called blood coming from the body of Krishna when arrows or something strike him, this was just his perspiration. Yes. And which is, and that perspiration is an ecstatic symptom of Krishna's, because of his love for his devotee. His compassion for his devotees. And in doing that, Krishna's purpose was to show the world how concerned he is about his devotees. So all of this pained Arjuna, seeing Krishna being pained by the weapons of the enemy. So Arjuna tried to convince Lord Krishna not to fight, because the Lord had promised not to fight. So Arjuna was reminding him that, you know, you mustn't fight. You promised not to. You shouldn't. You can't. Why are you moving towards Bhishma to attack him? Why don't you let me protect you? This is what Arjuna was thinking. Arjuna was thinking, I'm a Kshatriya. Let me protect you. But rather, Krishna was protecting him. Even at one point, as you may know, Lord Krishna picked up a chariot wheel and rushed at Bhishma to attack him. And there's a famous photograph of Arjuna. He's actually doing a sort of, you could say, a rugby tackle on Lord Krishna. That, please don't do this. I can defend myself, and I'll defend you. And if you do this, you're breaking your word. People will criticize you, and that will also be very painful for me. So thinking like this, speaking like this, Arjuna grabbed hold of Krishna's feet and tried to stop him from attacking Bhishma. Yes. So anyway, Krishna, it's all part of their leela. Krishna's fighting because he wants to. It's just a pastime. He could have killed everyone without lifting a finger, but He accepted the blows of the enemy and defended Arjuna against the enemy just to increase Arjuna's fame. 64. Even today, O Brahman, as I remember those incidents, I cannot remove the arrow of grief from my heart. How then can I feel any happiness? So grief-stricken by how Krishna was caused pain on his behalf, on Arjuna's behalf, and how Krishna embarrassed himself by breaking his promise in order to help Arjuna. So remembering all these things, Arjuna is saying, how could I feel happy? 65. Acts that bring pain to a dear one are not a sign of compassion or love. So Krishna was doing these things, which was bringing pain to me. So these are not signs of compassion or love. 66 and 67. When I refused to kill Bhishma, Drona, and others, Krishna, the best of wise scholars, taught me something to induce me to go ahead and kill them. Hearing only the literal meaning of what Krishna taught may please dry scholars, but to us whose life and soul lies in glorifying pure devotional service, those instructions by the Lord give great pain. Yes. So here is Arjuna's referring to Bhagavad Gita, which Arjuna is saying it's dry philosophy. It's all just about how you're not this body and things like this. So it's not relishable nectar as such. It's just, you know, taking literally something which may please dry scholars, but not us who are devotees and who love Krishna. So, so in this way, Arjuna is trying to deny the value of Bhagavad Gita. Although the purport says, this is only a ploy to distract Narada, as Arjuna's argument here is not valid. Why is it not valid? Because Bhagavad Gita is teaching pure devotional service, actually. Yeah. But Arjuna's trying to distract Narada Muni. 68. Even carefully studying the purport of those instructions has not made me any happier. Rather, his words only make me remember how he deceived me. So, in the purport here, it explains that according to all the Vaishnav commentators, including Sridaswami, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Jiva Goswami, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, and Baladeva Jibhushan, Bhagavad Gita is teaching that Krishna is the supreme truth and the perfection of life is to serve him with devotion. But Arjuna, feeling separation from Lord Krishna, thinks that it's not like that. It's not that Krishna taught Bhagavad Gita in order for people to become devotees and improve their lives and actually become perfect. Arjuna's argument is that Krishna spoke the instructions of Bhagavad Gita just to trick him into killing his teachers, Bhishma and Drona. Sure, this is amazing, isn't it? 69 and 70. No one is dearer to me than the Supreme Brahman, Krishna, with his all-enchanting, beautiful form. He has given himself to me, who have complete faith in him. He is the reservoir of pure, unconditional mercy, the upholder of his words, of his word, the best of well-wishing friends, the omnipotent Lord of all. So, after complaining, you could say, about Krishna in a certain sense. Arjuna makes it very clear that really he has faith in Krishna. Complete faith in Krishna. And that all these different concerns and anxieties he's been professing, they're just like secondary considerations. Just secondary considerations. Not really very important. So here Arjuna states four reasons for his complete trust in Krishna. First is he's unconditionally merciful. Then he is the upholder of his word. He never breaks his word, his promise. Then he is the best of well-wishing friends. And ultimately, he is the omnipotent Lord of all. And therefore he's able to do anything. And therefore, for these reasons, knowing Krishna like that, seeing Krishna like that, Arjuna has complete faith in Krishna. Yes. So Arjuna basically is confessing that for me Krishna is everything. And therefore, for Arjuna cannot bear to consider that Krishna might have intentionally deceived him into killing Bhishma and Drona, his teachers, on the pretext of giving him spiritual instruction in Bhagavad Gita. Okay, so now Nakula and Sahadev, they're going to deny their good fortune from verse 71 to 74. First 71 and 72. Sri Nakula and Sahadev said, "Yes, Sri Krishna gave us steadfastness in the face of many dangers. He arranged for the doom of all our enemies and for our success in the Ashvamedha and other sacrifices. He expanded our fame, kingdom, and pious credits, which others could hardly hope to attain. But, O godly Narada, we do not think that this is evidence of his mercy." Rather, he gave us his real mercy when, in the festival of many great sacrifices he had arranged, he delighted us by accepting the first worship. This is referring to the Rajasuya, that before these big sacrifices, then there's a discussion. Who should preside over the sacrifice? And the most prominent person present is then appointed as the president or the person overseeing the sacrifice. So in the Kula and Sahadev, we actually read yesterday or the day before, something like that, how the Kula and Sahadev at the Rajasuya, they put it to everyone that Krishna should preside because he's the greatest person here. And basically everyone accepted that. Everyone except Shishupal. And then the Lord killed Shishupal. Yeah. After Shishupal had insulted him 100 times. So that really pleased Nakula and Sahadev. Yes. Not so much that by Krishna's grace the Pandavas won the battle of Kurukshetra and then got a great kingdom. That's not such a big thing. So then they say, now he has cheated us by going away. So how can we continue to live? Before, O Brahman, at least we had the sight of him, so difficult to obtain. So like the other brothers, Yudhisthira, Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula and Sahadev are evaluating whether they got the mercy of Krishna or not by whether or not they're getting his personal association. And right now, they're not getting his personal association. So that means no mercy. Yeah. They only consider themselves fortunate when, like at the Rajasuya and other times, they could see the Lord directly. So now we come to verse 75, and this is interesting. This is Draupadi, the wife of the Pandavas, who feels Lord Krishna has withdrawn his mercy from her. Yeah. Okay, so that goes, what is it now? From 75 to 81. 75 to 81. Sri Parikshit said, hearing the words of the Pandavas, Draupadi was overwhelmed with sorrow. Calming herself with great effort, she spoke, crying in a choked voice. Sri Krishna said, you know who is Sri Krishna? It's Draupadi. Not Sri Krishna, but Sri Krishna, long A. That's Draupadi. So Sri Krishna, Draupadi said, so many times my intimate friend Sri Krishna saved me from shame, and so many times he killed wicked rascals like the Kauravas. So of course in terms of Krishna saving Krishna, Lord Krishna saving Mother Draupadi, the classic example is when the Dushasana tried to undress her in front of everyone during the course of the gambling match of Maharaj Yudhisthira with Shakuni. Yeah. And he just, you know, it was an incredible situation. And he completely saved her from being shamed in front of all the Kshatriyas and everyone. I thought he would always show us mercy. But now my father, brother, and sons have all fallen in battle. Yeah. They were all killed in the battle. Even the sleeping sons of Draupadi, the five sleeping sons, were killed by Ashwatthama. Nonetheless, I don't lament, for by nature I accept whatever he says. But I had hoped that on one pretext or another, he would arrange for my desires to be fulfilled. Yes, so Duryodhana, Dushasana, and all their associates and everyone, they had tormented Draupadi. It was just completely, completely intolerable for a chaste lady. It's described here as their unspeakably wicked behavior. Unspeakably wicked. That's really wicked. And Draupadi knew that it's only Krishna who can save me and can save my family, means the Pandava brothers. Nobody else can. So even though in one sense her husbands had won the battle and killed so many enemies, so they were responsible in that sense, but she knows it was all going on under Krishna's supervision. It was all Krishna's plan. Everything was going on under Krishna's will. Yes. So it says here, even after Draupadi's father Drupada, her brother Drishtadyumna, and her five sons headed by Prativindya had all perished at Kurukshetra, she hoped against hope that Krishna would somehow make her happy again. So she continues. After my family members were killed, Sri Krishna personally sat here at my side and expertly consoled me with persuasive arguments. I always drink the immortal nectar of those charming words, so pleasing to the mind, and the smile that went with them. Oh, it must have been a most fantastic experience. Gosh, having that sort of association with Krishna. So now, the mother, Queen Kunti, is going to speak. From verse 82, to verse 89. And her point is, she has given up hope of Lord Krishna being merciful to her. Okay, so let's see. Queen Kunti. Sri Parikshit said, Mother Kunti, for whom the sight of Krishna was life, seem tormented with sorrow, remembering how Krishna had at times shown his mercy and at other times not. She then spoke pitifully with tears in her eyes. So, anyway, you know, Kunti, of course, she's another transcendental personality. She's actually blessed with the full mercy of the Lord. And no matter what she says, you know, she can't really escape that. But because she's feeling separation, Vipralamba Bhava, so because of that, that impelled her to complain sorrowfully, as if she's an ordinary woman. So in order to clarify the fact that Kunti did not really feel like that, but it's just her mood of special ecstasy and separation, which is stimulating her to speak like that, Parikshit Maharaj says that she spoke as if lamenting. As if lamenting. To clarify the real situation. All right, so then, here's Kunti from verse 82, I think, what is it? 82 to 89. Yes. And what is this now? So, now, one interesting point drawn out here is that Yudhisthira and Kunti are the most senior persons here. Yes. All right. Okay. Anyway, so let's carry on. Sri Prita, Kunti said, I had no husband to protect me, but Krishna always interceded just in time to save me and my sons from calamity. From this I understood that Krishna's mercy on me was special, greater even than his mercy on his mother, Devaki. Wow. So, in her prayers in the 8th chapter of the first canto, Queen Kunti compares her relationship with Krishna to Devaki's relationship. She says, there's a couple of verses here, O Rishikesh, master of the senses and lord of lords, you have released me and my children and your mother Devaki, who was long imprisoned and distressed by the envious King Kamsa from a series of constant dangers. So Krishna has released her, Kunti, and the Pandavas, and Devaki, from a series of constant dangers. My dear Krishna, your lordship has protected us from a poisoned cake, from a great fire, from cannibals, from the vicious assembly, from sufferings during our exile in the forest, and from the battle where great generals fought. And now you've saved us from the weapon of Ashvatthama. So Kunti is saying that that Krishna's mercy on her is different from Krishna's mercy on Devaki, because Krishna saved Devaki only after she had been suffering for a long time. and he only saved Devaki once. And even when she was freed, she was still unhappy because Krishna had not rescued the first of her six sons who were murdered by Kamsa. But Krishna, Kunti is making the point, Krishna saved her repeatedly, together with her sons. He always came to their rescue without delay. When Duryodhan tried to feed Bhima a poison cake, when Duryodhan tried to burn the Pandavas alive in the palace made of lac, when the Pandavas had to face cannibals, man-eating demons like Hidimba, when they were cheated by the Kauravas in gambling, and numerous other times. Devaki had protectors other than Krishna, including her husband and other Vrishnis. Whereas for Kunti, Krishna was the only shelter. She had no other shelter. Therefore, Kunti considered her own dependence on Krishna more complete than Devaki's. 84. But now the thought that Krishna is merciful to me never enters my mind. For everywhere, in our home and the homes of our neighbors, I hear the loud mourning of the women whose relatives have been slain. Yes. So, yes. By Krishna's arrangement, all these people died. Okay. Therefore, deprived of seeing him, I begged Krishna to take away our wealth and give us more calamities, to bring him again within our sight. Now, this is very famous, isn't it? It was very famous. It's Bhagavatam 1.8.25. Let us just read it here. Vipada santuta shashvat. Tatra tatra jagad guru bhavato darshanam yatsyad apuna bhava darshanam. I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again so we could see you again and again. For seeing you means we'll no longer see repeated births and deaths. Yes. So the thing, well, this is, you know, one of the ideas like Yudhisthira has. Let's just start a rumor that enemies are attacking us, and then call for Krishna, please come to Hastinapura and protect us. Although there's no enemies, no one's coming to attack them. These types of things. Or let us say that we're going to have a big yajna and ask Krishna to please come and preside over it. But there's no yajna being arranged. So, these Pandavas, they're really amazing. Krishna gave the Pandavas their kingdom, freed from thorny opponents. Freed from thorny opponents. Now, thinking the brothers satisfied, he's abandoned us and resides in Dwarka. Yes. So he thinks that we think that we're all right. Now we've got the kingdom, everything's fine. Thank you, Krishna. That's it. We got what we need. And that's good enough. Thank you. Finish. So that's Kunti's speculation. Yes. He thinks that we feel we're okay, we don't need further help. But we need so much help. We need his mercy. But he doesn't think like that. He thinks we don't need him any longer. So she concludes. Well, yeah. So I've given up hope that he will ever come back. Now I think his real mercy would be my quick death. That's amazing, isn't it? Yes, so. So. Now she feels from verse 90 to 132, well, she's going to advise now in 89. She's going to advise. Let's just keep reading. 88. My last thread of hope that Krishna is always compassionate to his friends and relatives can easily break if I simply consider how strongly he's attached to the Yadus. So, of course, we noticed, I don't know if you noticed, but it was stated, I mean, we definitely pointed out that Yudhisthira, right in the beginning of this whole quite long series of verses where all of the Pandavas and then Draupadi and now Kunti are saying how they feel they got no mercy. So in the course of that, and we pointed out that Maharaj Yudhisthira said, actually, Narada, if you want to find someone who really got mercy, you've got to go to the Yadus in Dwarka. Because Krishna's there right now. He lives with them in Dwarka. It's his permanent situation. So it's obvious that they've got the mercy. Yes. So Kunti receives the same, or reaches the same conclusion as Yudhisthira. That really, the people you want to speak to, if you want to speak to people who got mercy from Lord Krishna, you got to visit Dwarka and see the Yadus, because they're the ones. Yeah, so. Okay, so, and 89. Therefore, go see the divine Yadavas, the Lord's most beloved associates, who live immersed in a vast, unequaled joy, ocean of joy. My Lord Narada, you know very well how great they are. What can I tell you about their glories? Yes, okay. They're so devoted, more devoted than Brahma, the demigods, Garuda, Prahlad, Hanuman, other Vaishnavas in this mortal world. Kunti's thinking that because the Yadavas are always absorbed in ecstasy, that when Narada goes to see them, he'll get into ecstasy, or even more ecstasy than he's in now. So, and she says, my Lord Narada, you know very well how great they are. What can I tell you about their glories? Sri Kunti is reminding Narada Muni that he has already been to Dwarka many times before. which is the fact. He's been there many times, and he's seen the situation there many times. So therefore, what can I tell you about their glories? Because you already know. You already know so much. So just go there, and you'll see Krishna's full mercy. All right, so we go on now. It's actually the last full section of this chapter, and it's from verse 90 to 132. Sure. And it's titled, Are the Yadus the Recipients of the Lord's Greatest Mercy? But it is divided into quite a number, actually. Four. It's divided into four subsections. First is from verse 90 to verse 99. And in these verses, Narada Muni enters Dwarika, sees the glories of the Yadavas, and is received by them. Okay, so let's read through these verses, 90 to 99. 90. Sri Parikshit said, O mother, O wife of Lord Yadavendra's nephew, the exalted sage Narada swiftly arrived at Sri Dwarika. He entered the inner city, repeatedly offering prostrate obeisances, and saw from a distance the fortunate Yadu heroes. So, so Subhadra is the sister of Krishna. And Uttara, who's the mother, of course, of Maharaj Parikshit, Uttara is the wife of Subhadra's son Abhimanyu. Wow, that's interesting, isn't it? Uttara, is the wife of Subhadra's son Abhimanyu, and Uttara gave birth to Maharaj Parikshit. Therefore, if the Yadus are as fortunate as the Pandavas describe, Parikshit's mother also shares in their blessedness by being a member of the family. Okay, 91. He beheld them sitting at ease in the blessed assembly hall, Sudharma, ranked in order of importance. They sat resplendent with the ornaments of their own bodily beauty, and were further adorned with garlands of parijata. Yes, so Narada arrives, finds the Yadu rulers convened in the Sudharma hall, which had previously been in Indraloka, in the heavenly planets. But then Krishna brought it to for the Pandavas in Hastinapur. The Yadus in Dwarika. So, they're sitting at ease in the blessed assembly hall, Sudharma. Now that the Sudharma hall is sort of under the Yadus, it's they're using it. The glory of the hall has increased more than it was when it was in Indraloka, Swargaloka, the heavenly planets. So Narada comes in and sees the Yadus sitting happily in order of seniority by age. Even though they're fantastically wealthy and powerful, they had no desire for anything material. Their treasure in life was simply the lotus feet of Krishna. Yes. And they accepted all the trappings of royalty and wealth and power and all that only as service to Krishna, not because they wanted it for themselves, but because they knew it gave Krishna pleasure that they had the situation and they were ruling. Yes. And that hall, Sudharma, and their priceless jewels, garments, and parijata garlands, those things added nothing to the natural beauty of their transcendental bodies, which shone with the splendor of their pure love for Krishna and their pure love for one another. 92. They were being regaled by festive song and dance in the most celestial style, and praised by bards in splendidly tasteful words. So all the music, dance, drama, everything else, all the presentations that were going on are described here as divya. Means same level as those things going on Indraloka. They're also, some of them are described as ati divya, means equal to the same things, dancing and singing and all that, as they occur in Vaikuntha. Yes. And all the perfections of this world and the kingdom of God attended the Yadus like menial servants. Like menial servants. Okay. So we'll carry on tomorrow from verse 93. Yes. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.